Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulge discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Drop Car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah. No one admits it, and you say like, "Hey, Mike's going to replace somebody. This is going to be who is it going to be?"
I think Will is a. I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do. So you can't reverse these things on me because I have no problem saying what's on my mind.
Okay, and. Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the program. HMBRadio.com, 813-693-2124, voice and text line. Please leave a message. I hope you're good. I'm all right. I'm hanging in. I got in a fight. Not a fight. Twitter's good for miscommunicating with your fellow man, not understanding what people are saying, but it's fun. Don't get on it. If you're not on it, don't do it now. They had a big hack this week where everybody, all the big wigs, anyways, Elon Musk, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, they all got tweeted out their Bitcoin wallets and dummies. If you own Bitcoin, you got to be pretty smart. I tried to figure this stuff out. I don't know about these things. I'm not super dumb. But if you own Bitcoin, you must be kind of smart. But people just see these tweets like, "Hey, I'm giving away Bitcoin. I'm a billionaire, and I'm gonna give back to my community." All you gotta do, send me Bitcoin, and then I'll double it. Okay. And people went, "Sure, that sounds good." And then they just went ahead and sent money to this wallet. And once Bitcoin's gone, it's gone. They don't know how to track it. It's all encrypted. It's blockchain technologies, whatever that is. I don't know those things. I don't know what those are. But they got away with about $100,000. Turns out it was an inside job. It's looking that way anyway. From some Twitter employee gave the hacker, sold the hacker his login information to get to the root website or whatever. So yeah, that's weird. But I ended up talking to this dude, a good guy. I don't know if he listens to the show or not anymore. I think he used to, but this dude DH Tampa, good follow. If follow him over there. He used to live in Tampa. I think he's in Denver now. Talk about Buck stuff. And he's into politics and stuff, too. And I tweeted out this. I saw this quote from the press secretary, pretty blonde lady, Kaylee something. And I just call her pretty blonde lady. And the quote was, "We're not going to let science stand in the way of opening schools." And I went, "What? That's insane." And I looked at that, and here's a rule, general rule. If you see something and you go, "That can't be real," it's not. It's not real. And what they did, and what the Washington Post and CNN and many news outlets did, was they took that part. There was a big second part of that quote that they entirely left out, which he said the science is on the side of opening the schools. Now, and this is what I got in the fight with that dude about, you can argue that. Journalists can fact check that statement, whether it's on the side of to open schools or not. I don't know, and I don't really have an opinion on it. And I would rely on journalists to go ask epidemiologists and virologists and people who study these types of things to find out if that's a true statement on her part or not. So he disagreed with her assessment there and could not understand where I was coming from, which is I'm just being critical of the press, acting like the Daily Show and taking a clip out of context. Well, she said it. I go, "Yeah, I know she said it." And it seems like to me what I got was that she had a slip up. Yeah, she speaks for a living. I say dumb stuff all the time that I don't mean to say. Came out a different way. I'm sure that person has too. We all do. It happens. So she slipped up and corrected herself and said the science is on the side of opening the schools and they want to open the schools. Like I said, you can disagree with that. You can go, you know, journalists should go do their jobs and talk to people and fact check that statement. I'm totally okay with that. But the fact that they just didn't quote her accurately and he would not budge on, he just kept attacking her. Oh, well, this is a theme throughout the administration. What does that have to do with the quote being taken out of context exactly? Kept trying to pound that into his head. But people have this emotional reaction to, and tend to be binary thinkers too, that if you're defending A, then you must be B, and which is not my team, and ergo, I got to fight you on this. But that, I was not taking a side on the statement. I was taking being critical of corporate press because they deserve, as you know, that's a theme of this podcast, and it bleeds into the radio show, and Johnny rolls his eyes every time because he isn't care about this stuff and I'm so passionate about it. He entertains it, but he doesn't know. It's just not his bag, you know. He likes telling D jokes and fart jokes and stuff. So, you know, it bleeds into the radio show sometimes, but I was so, and I get annoyed because that's not what I'm saying. And I get accused of being things that I'm not just because I'm defending, or not defending, but being critical of something else, which is guilt by association for another thing that they don't like. And ergo, you must be the thing that I don't like, and I gotta hit you back on this. Which is fine. That's what Twitter's for. I get it. But anyway, I eventually just said, "All right, man, have a good one." And he said, "Hey, thanks for talking to me." And it ended well, which is good. So I don't know if I know that person. He's been around for years. We follow each other for years. So I don't know if he listens to this show still or how he found me, but he's a good follow. DH Tampa. Follow him. He's a nice boy. This podcast is brought to you by NTT Fitness. Yeah, NTTNutrition.com. So they have a promo code on their website for 30% off your first order. So I would use that, not level up 15, because you can get 30% off. They haven't given me an updated code or anything, Kay, over there. And so I would use that. And I definitely tried out. I've been very impressed with these meals. When they first started out, I mean, it was fine. It was good. You know, you just understood that it was healthy food and, you know, you ate it to fill your tum-tum. That you didn't really enjoy it necessarily. Not to say it was bad. I'm just saying it was kind of plain, basic type of stuff. I don't know what happened, but the food is amazing. I've been ordering double because I've been eating it for lunch and dinner now. It's so good, and it's good for you. I mean, you're talking like 440 calories for a meal. That's fantastic, spectacular. And it's, everybody says, oh, well, you must have to eat two. And you go, I could easily eat two of them, but no, you don't really need to. You just need to eat the one meal. That's how much a human body needs to have in it in order to function. You don't need to have more than that. So definitely check them out. I got my friend Dan. He ordered this week. He's been very impressed with it. Use the code on their website. But in the notes section, if you do order, please remember to just put homemade broadcast or something in the notes section when you check out. There should be a little box there. Check it out. NTT Fitness, and then they have a nutrition page. Click that. That's how you can find it. Look good. Feel good. How you feeling?
Good. Great. Couldn't be better. How
Another
are you?
Week in paradise. I'm great. Yeah. I'm very used to this new lifestyle.
You look tan.
It's concerning me. Yeah, thanks.
You look good. Everybody looks so much better with a tan. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I've always been very pasty. I usually burn. I found the regimen what works is I have to go outside, sit for like 10 minutes, and then come back in, cool down, because otherwise I'm going to get very red very quick.
Yeah, I can see your chest is red, but it seems like it does turn into a nice tan.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Everybody goes, oh, you need to put some sunscreen lotion on your chest there. You got a little red. I don't know. It's always like that.
Do you put sunscreen on?
No.
Well, that's a problem.
But why is that the only part that burns?
No, it's more sensitive there. I don't know.
Because I usually wear tank tops and my arms aren't like that. The rest of my body is not like that.
I understand. I don't have an answer. I'm not a dermatologist, but yeah, I definitely think that you should put on sunscreen though.
No.
Okay. Well,
I have this mark here on my arm.
Probably cancerous.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
Has it been there before?
No. Just noticed it. Kind of hurts too.
Yeah, maybe get that checked out.
I had my friend who's a doctor. He kind of went, well,
he's a neurologist.
Yeah, but he just went through medical school. I'm sure he would
he
know
did
cancer.
A chapter on dermatology.
I think he would
skin
know
cancer. Okay.
I think he would go. Yeah, you should get that. He didn't say go to a dermatologist. He said, well, just watch it, put some sunscreen on.
I mean, it's already there though.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably pre-cancer. That's what I'm assuming. But, that happens. Cancer forms on your body, and you get it taken care of. You get zapped off.
Yeah, but are you going to take care of it, or are you going to?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I'm not. Well, great. I'm not going to. I don't have health insurance, so I don't have much of an option right now. Can't.
Or
literally can't do anything about it.
Or die. That's the other option. Just live as long as you can.
That's the idea.
I know we talk about that a lot, but I do think about it sometimes. Like, the people that say existed 20,000 years less even, but let's go far back, hunter-gatherer days. If you got a tooth infection, that's what took you out. You just fucking, you died, broke your leg.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're dead. That's just what happens,
Don't curse because I got to edit it out when you curse.
Did I say a bad word?
You did.
Oh, which one did I say?
F word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My bad.
I just wanted to let you know because that first one I had to, that was a pain in the butt to
edit.
Yeah,
to go back. All right, my bad.
Yeah, no, it's all good. All good. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, you're good.
Check this out. Oh, no, it's not working.
What is that?
This is my new sound.
Your soundboard? Silence, yeah, well, guess what? No bitch. Sound.
Oh, come on. Silence, why isn't it working?
Up, I don't know.
Silence, ho. Shut up, bitch.
You like that one?
Yeah, that's good. What's that from?
Eastbound and Down.
Okay.
I forget that I have these. I have access to all of these buttons here, and I've even uploaded sounds to them.
Get a life, Jews.
Classic.
That's a great segue into what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
Nick Cannon is... Do you know who Nick Cannon is? I've heard so many people...
You don't know who he is?
I know who
he
is.
Sure, he did some rapping. He hosted Wild and Out, Drumline.
I am aware of him. I know who he is.
I'm to the listeners who maybe don't know.
Okay, because that's what I was going to say. A lot of people do not know who he is.
Really?
And are very unfamiliar with him.
He's just kind of, I feel like he's one of those guys that's kind of dipped his toes in everything in entertainment, whether it's rapping, singing, dancing, acting, now podcasting, it seems like. I didn't know he had a podcast, but apparently he does. So
he
married Mariah Carey. He got some notoriety from that.
Yeah, and he, I think that's what he was, kind of Mariah Carey's husband. That's kind of what he was best known for, even when he did all these things, the very successful things. And he was kind of like, you know, he was host of America's Got Talent. He was kind of America's sweetheart.
He was the one that discovered Pete Davidson. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he scouted him and he saw him in a club. And then that's how he also did stand-up comedy, Nick Cannon, I think.
Yeah.
Too. So he's he's done everything. He's kind of like a less talented Donald Glover. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Did music, too, I think.
Yes, he did music. I think I don't know if he rapped or he sang. He R&B. Definitely did. Right. He's done a lot of stuff.
Did you ever see him? He's got that weird turban that he wears now. He wears a literal turban on his head.
The last thing I watched with him was Drumline, and I think that was in 2002.
Yeah.
So I don't keep up to date with Nick Cannon.
There has been an epidemic over the past few weeks of
black
celebrities not being a big fan of...
Get a life, Jews.
Not a big fan of the Jews.
Yeah, we're making a comeback, y'all.
And this sort of... And you're a Jew, and I'm a half... So I kind of thought this would be kind of an interesting thing to talk about because we have some experience with getting made fun of. Yeah, a little bit growing up. Not too bad.
Because I don't even think you sell it. Have you ever even been to a synagogue?
For probably like a wedding or something.
But not to worship.
I had to wear one of those, a yarmulke once.
Okay.
I remember. But no, I'm not active in the community. I didn't
get never was.
No.
Right. Okay.
No. I did wear a Star of David in seventh grade just because you try to be unique and try to.
I know what you. Yes, I know what you mean.
Try to do something.
Stand out.
And my mom gave it to me, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool. I'm gonna be the Jewish kid. I'm just gonna lean into it."
Yeah, I did too. It was cool.
Yeah, but it makes you
not
different.
That cool. It makes you different. I did get a miss school twice a year for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Until you realize you're in service and you're like, this is worse than school. I would rather be in class than listening to, that's more of a church, but you understand.
That's where they have to do the build out, right? That's where they open it up a little bit. They got the faux walls and they can kind of open it up and make the place bigger. Isn't that true?
Yes and no. But yeah, it was just boring. And you're singing and chanting in a language you don't know,
right.
Which is the dumbest thing ever. I can read and write Hebrew, can't understand it, which you would think is the most important part of a language is the ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody taught me how to speak it or say it. But apparently I can read and write like a pro, like a champ. So
dumb. I had a scam that I wanted to do when I was 13. Which was I was going to go into Bubby's address book, write letters to distant family members that live in Pennsylvania.
I know where this is going, but go ahead.
And just let them know that I was going to be bar mitzvahed.
Right.
Don't worry about showing up. I know it's far, but just wanted to let you know because I went to my cousins and they were rolling in cash. Mm. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah. I think I made $3,000 that I never saw.
Oh, man.
The party just paid for itself, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that's what happened with these guys. Probably the same thing. But I had that scammed. I was going to write everybody and let them know that I was now a man.
Save the date.
And just letting you know, don't show up. No need to come down. It's a long, long plane ride to Florida and don't worry about it. But I ended up, my conscience got the best of me and I didn't opt to do that.
That's good.
So Nick Cannon... And this kind of started with, you know, Deshaun Cube. Jackson. Are you familiar with him?
I thought before that Ice Cube. But yeah, I know Deshaun Jackson as well.
I guess, yeah, I remember.
He said something like pro Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, and then he went a bit on a tirade. And he was just
get a life, Jews.
On Twitter. And he just went on, just tweet after tweet after tweet. And I guess you're right, because, and then shortly after... Deshaun Jackson.
Yes, the Hitler, in quotes, Hitler stuff, even though it wasn't Hitler.
It was not Hitler. I think it was Louis Farrakhan.
Posing as Hitler.
It's you ever see The Office when Michael Scott says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Wayne Gretzky, and then put Michael Scott underneath.
Yeah, yeah,
so he was using Wayne. It was kind of one of those
quote
things.
Quote Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting because there is a Tampa connection to all this. Deshaun Jackson played for the Buccaneers.
I did know that. Let me see if this is correct. Was that the guy whose face we zoomed in on when Jameis Winston was eating the W and everyone was like, what the hell?
I don't remember.
I think it is because I remember saying, whose face is that? And I think Johnny said, that's Deshaun Jackson.
And he was not pleased.
He was just like, what the hell?
What are you doing?
Yeah, James was like,
yum, yum, yum. Eat up. Eat up, butto. Yeah. And now he plays for the Eagles. He's not around anymore. And I guess you're right. I guess it was Ice Cube starting it out first. And then Deshaun Jackson tweeted out or Instagrammed out the Adolf Hitler quote, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but like he didn't say
something
F
about
Jews.
Blacks are the real Hebrews,
right? Which is what that, the Black Israelites say.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's something along the lines of God. I can't remember it now. Just that, like they're taking it away from the real Israelites, something like that, and something about Jews running the media and the world, and we shouldn't feel sorry for them or something.
Yeah. And Charlemagne the God chimed in on
Can
this.
Can I tell you, I freaking hate this guy.
You?
I hate Charlemagne the God.
Uh-huh.
I really am not a fan, which is so bizarre because I'm such a huge fan of Andrew Schultz, mm-hmm. and him and Andrew do a podcast together.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's called Brilliant Idiots, and I listen to it sometimes, and it's good. But, like, Andrew Schultz is a very reasonable person. You know, he's very fair in the way that he thinks. Everything is very consistent. He doesn't have an agenda. He has black friends, white friends, you know, Indian friends. He's everybody's friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like Charlemagne the God is a racist. I really, really do. And I think he hates white people. He'll have a few, and I hate to say this, he'll have a few tokens that he keeps around, token white people.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Schultz is probably his main one.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, he just is very disinterested in anything that is not... does not center around the black community and the black plight.
Yes, and I have noticed that about him passively, but I'm also not a huge fan of his. I know he's got a very successful radio show.
Breakfast.
And I've liked clips that we've seen of him when he talked to Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, because he does pressure these politicians when other people in media don't,
mm-hmm.
that seem to have a pass. So... He recently had a clip with Joe Biden when Biden tried to get out of it and talk about, hey, you're not black unless you vote for...
You ain't black.
You ain't black, right. If you don't vote for me.
Yeah.
And he shut that down immediately. And I like that about him. And I didn't really realize, though, because he came to Nick Cannon's defense.
Of course he did.
And said, well... looks like Jews do run the media if he got fired.
Exactly what I said, too, but in a joking way, saying, like, well, of course this is going to happen. Doesn't he know that the Jews run the media?
Right,
you know,
right.
And I said it, like, you know, jokingly, but, you know, for serious. But, I mean, for Charlemagne to say that, and that wasn't a joke. He was saying, like, that's why he got fired, and there's no black people in positions of executive power, otherwise this wouldn't have happened, sort of a thing. But I mean, I really dislike Charlemagne the God. I really do believe in my heart of hearts that he's a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Against anybody, I don't want to say anybody that isn't black, but I'm going to say white people. He has a distaste for white people, and it's palatable. It's obvious, and he's able mm-hmm. to get away with it. So
yeah, and I wouldn't really have a problem with that either. If other people could get away with the same thing, that may be a different color or creed.
Yeah.
Because there is any sort of hint of you might be something and you're white, you're gone. But it seems like if you're even anything else, Sarah Jeong from the New York Times, white people, white men, blah, blah, blah. Asians are doing way better than white people as far as being successful in America. And it's because they have good work ethic and they have good families. And there's a lot of different reasons for that.
So are Indians doing better than white people?
Indians. Even some African blacks who come over here do really well,
people
too.
People from the West Indies as well.
Yes.
So
right.
Should go to
usually
show.
Because they're rich, though, and they just end up coming over here.
Sure,
anyway. They're already
but nevertheless, if you're black and you're doing well, then shouldn't that be an indication that there's not institutionalized racism?
Perhaps.
You know what I
would
mean?
Say that's a data point.
And even
anyways.
If we say, oh, you have money, then it becomes, okay, it's not a race issue, it's a class issue.
Yeah.
Which is usually, those two things are conflated. I understand that there's a large intersectionality between race and class, but when you really strip it down to bare bones, it seems to be more of a class issue than a race issue in this country. But nevertheless,
well, the definition has kind of changed as far as what racism is.
Everyone
the word
is a
has
racist. it's so watered down that, like, you know, you play a black person on a cartoon, and now you're a racist for not
right.
understanding, you know, the gravity of your situation, of the situation of, you know, the egregious act that you did. It's like, come on, everybody's racist. You can't even make a joke. You're racist. So,
yeah. So Nick Cannon, I just wanted to play his comments. I'm sure you probably heard it by now. He was fired from, I believe, CBS Now, P. Diddy signed him to his media company, though, so immediately. So he's not losing out on any cash. He just went somewhere else. And I think there was one company that did not drop him for this. And they cited, in this clip, he talks about white people and Jews in this one.
I feel like I've seen this clip, too, but I feel like, do we need a little bit of background before we hear what he says?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay, okay.
So he's talking with Professor Griff. And I don't know if you're familiar with Professor Griff.
Can I guess? Was he part of, like,
There you go.
NWA?
NWA. No, it was Public Enemy. He
That's
was
really
part
close.
Of. He it was. He okay. was kicked out for being too radical. And Professor Griff is Richard Spencer, but black.
And I'm going to guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to suggest he's not a real professor. Is that right?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm not positive.
He's like a Dr. Dre sort of. Okay.
I have a feeling it's more something like that, but I don't know, okay, honestly. I haven't done too much research on Professor Griff.
Okay.
But I do know that he is a black nationalist. He's proposed, I believe, seven states that would be black owned and black controlled.
Oh, wonderful. So segregation?
Yes.
Perfect.
And this is exactly what Richard Spencer
wants,
you know,
but for white
like
people.
The face of the new Nazi party in America to many people, but that's what he wants to.
They should get together and have a hang, I feel.
But this is the weird thing, is that a lot of these groups do get together and have conferences. I don't know if Professor Griff and Richard Spencer have, but there
That'd
are black
so
nationalists and white nationalists that get together to try to plan out how they're going to divide everything up. And it's peaceful. Like, we'll go our own ways here. We want this area. And like, they, I guess, try to, now it's not going to happen. Obviously.
Sure.
Like, I don't know how you make something like this. Like if you're mixed or like, what's the protocol?
I'm sure
there?
People could
you can't go
or,
anywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's just, they're just weirdos in their little clubs and fair enough. But for whatever reason, and I think I know why, just because of the history of this country, when I hear white nationalist, I go, ooh, my butthole kind of tightens up a little bit.
Okay.
When I hear black nationalist, it doesn't do the same thing.
Sure.
And I think we've been trained to react that way over
we'll
a long period of time.
Black power, white power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of those goes, you go
black power. Okay. Black Panthers, white power. Yeah.
It's like Cain Velasquez has brown pride tattooed on. You know, Cain Velasquez
no,
is a
not
fighter.
At all.
He's a UFC fighter.
Okay.
His father came here. I think he was a illegal immigrant, crossed the desert, got over here. Kane was born here.
What's his ethnicity?
Mexican, I believe. Okay. So he has brown pride tattooed on him. And for some reason, and I think it's just because of the training that I've always had, and we've always had in schools, and that doesn't really bother me. But if you put somebody with white power or white pride, you go, oh my God, that's not okay. So these comments about, and even the Nick Cannon quote that we're about to play here from his podcast that got a lot of heat, it wasn't the white stuff that got him in trouble. It was the Jew stuff. That was what sparked everything. So let's play this clip. This is from Nick Cannon's podcast. He's got some weird fists up in the sky, Cannon something. And all right, and let's play it.
And when we talk about the power of melanated people, when we talk about who we really are as guys and understanding that our melanin is so power and it connects us in a way that the reason why they fear black, the reason why they fear is because the lack that they have of it. So then when you see what, you know, Dr. Francis C. Wellesley talked about is that fear in that
just genetic annihilation
deficiency of when you have a person that has the lack of pigment, the lack of melanin, that they know that they will be annihilated. So therefore, however they got the power, they have the lack of compassion. Mm-hmm. That melanin comes with compassion.
Is he high? What is he?
So this is just nonsense.
Just riffing
that comes from Farrakhan and the.
He's dressing like him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Farrakhan was all about, like, Nation of Islam and not a big fan of Jews. I think he said a lot of misogynistic stuff as well. But, like, and the same glasses he's wearing as Farrakhan.
Right.
Is Farrakhan still alive? I think he
is. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's still very popular.
No, I know he's I said, is he alive? He's
Farrakhan?
Not dead.
Louis Farrakhan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, he still has a Twitter account.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
can
know.
Follow him if you want to.
No, that's
probably
fine.
Just Louis Farrakhan, I'm sure. So melanin is just what the thing that it just makes your skin darker for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there would be an easy way to, like, what about if a person is ethnically black but an albino? Would they not have these superpowers? I feel like that would be a good test to see if this puts it to test.
Yeah, they definitely don't have melanin.
That's just a lack of melanin. So I feel like that would be a good test.
And it's not like your skin color is fixed. I mean, we were just talking at the beginning of the show that you are able to tan and become a darker shade.
Yeah, thank God.
And people can get lighter if they avoid the sun. So, I mean, it's malleable, your skin color. So.
Right. And this is just from people migrating and traveling. You know, we all came from the Fertile Crescent, supposedly, and it's where we all originated from.
Well, Africa.
Okay. Yeah, that's Fertile Crescent in Africa.
No, that's Middle East, but...
What?
That's the Middle East. Like Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia is the Fertile Crescent.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I'll take your word for it. But anyway, so we all came from that area, and then people moved around, and for whatever reason, we were in snowstorms and didn't have use for this melanin anymore, and it left our bodies over a period of time.
We have it, just less.
Just less.
Yeah.
Right, right. So let's finish this.
Melanin comes with soul, that we call it. We call it soul. We soul brothers and sisters. That's the melanin that connects us.
Right.
So the people that don't have it are a little, and I'm gonna say this carefully.
He's gonna say it carefully, so kindly and gently.
This is what I liked about this clip.
No,
it was not careful. Not careful and not kind at all. Yeah. But here we go.
Are a little less, and where the.
I even liked that the camera. You can't see this because this is an audio podcast. But when he said that, the camera zoomed in a little bit on his face, which was a little extra dramatic.
Yeah.
The term actually comes from, because I'm bringing it all the way back around to Minister Farrakhan, to where they may not have the compassion or the when they were sent to the mountains of Caucasus, when they didn't have the power of the sun, that the sun then started to deteriorate them. So then they're acting out of fear. They're acting out of low self-esteem. They're acting out of a deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the only way that they can act is evil.
Evil?
He's like a fortune teller. You know what I mean? That's the logic he's bringing to the table.
Mercury's
in retrograde, and that's why they're acting weird.
There's no data to correspond with this, obviously.
It doesn't matter. It's all about feelings, Will. Who cares about data and facts?
Yeah. Evil. Okay.
Any way they have to rob, steal, rape, kill, and
fight or flight. Okay.
Excuse me?
Have you looked at FBI crime stats?
Not recently. He hasn't, clearly.
Okay. Or in order to survive.
Exactly.
So then these people who didn't have what we had, and when I say we, I speak of the melanated people.
Right.
They had to be savages. They had to be barbaric. They had, because they're in these Nordic mountains.
So I'm listening to this, and I switch everything from, this is what Roger Ailes said to do, switch everything from black to white, and my butt would be making a diamond right now if it was a white guy saying these same things about
it's
about
wildly
black
racist,
people.
Yeah.
But when I watch this, I don't really have those. I kind of laugh at it, and I know that's so dumb.
The logic is funny because there isn't any.
There isn't any, right?
But and you're right. It is more funny than it. Like your visceral reaction is like that's hilarious versus like that's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling it's gonna get worse, right? Are we gonna hear about the Jews?
Yep. Let's get to the Jews.
Get a life, Jews.
They're in these rough, torrential environments, so they're acting as animals.
Right.
So they're the ones that are actually closer to animals. They're the ones that are actually the true savages, and then they built up such this I don't want to say warrior, but they built up such this conquering barbaric mentality.
I guess not. I guess the Jews were spared in
this clip. I mean that clip is bad enough, I suppose. But I think he said something. What exactly did he say about the Jews? I did read the story, but I have forgotten. Something about how they're evil, wicked, or he didn't. I think the Professor Griffin guy said that they're evil and wicked, and Nick Cannon like agreed. Was that what it was?
You know, I should know this, but I don't have it.
I think that's what it was. I think that he was like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I agree.
Let's see. On a podcast, said that black people were the true Hebrews. That's what it was, and talked about anti-Semitic conspiracy theories involving the Rothschild family. And he's quoted as saying, it's never hate speech. You can't be anti-Semitic when we are the Semitic people. This is one of those workarounds where that you can't be. It's like they changed the definition of it's got to be being a douche to somebody because of color skin. But also, there has to be power there. So you have power, so I can't then be racist. Mm. And you can't be anti-Semitic because he's actually Jewish. Because he's black, and black people are actually the real Jews. This is the black Hebrew Israelite type of mentality.
Is he Muslim now? Did he convert?
Because I think he's Sikh, I thought. Because he's wearing the turban thing.
No. Muslims also cover their head like that.
And it's, you know, you have these quotes just right in front of us. We just listen to them, and then he tweeted out that anyone who knows me knows that I have no hate in my heart. I just heard you say it.
It is really interesting because he's not only saying that, you know, he's not even making the case that black people are equal to white people. He's saying that white people are now inferior to black people. So he's just saying the same hateful rhetoric that white people said, you know, during times of slavery and thereafter. So it's funny that he's like, you know, we can't be hateful. And then he just says hateful rhetoric. It's wild.
This is what Terry Crews was talking about. Did you see him on Don
Lamone? Yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, he was on Don Lamone's show. Nope, Don Lamone. Okay. That's his name. Okay. And he was concerned that the Black Lives Matter movement was going to turn into a supremacy group as opposed to a group about
black
equality.
Lives. Yeah.
Yeah, and saving black lives. And this seems to be exactly what's happening in with some of these celebrities here, Ice Cube, P. Diddy, I guess, got in trouble too. Bunch of athletes, Sean Jackson, Steven Jackson, former NBA player, came to his defense. In Jameel Hill's defense, she is a former ESPN correspondent and writer now for The Atlantic. Just the stuff that she's got.
What'd she say about Trump? Something?
Oh, my God. I mean, just derangement.
What did she get fired over or suspended over?
I can't remember. I think it's been a few. Yeah. I mean, it's just lunacy. And in her defense, though, she wrote an article about black athletes have a problem with anti-Semitism.
What is that about? Because, I mean, it seems like we're seeing a resurgence of anti-Semitism. And what is really, really disturbing is I have a good friend who lives in Dusseldorf in Germany. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's Jewish. Well, like me, atheist, but Jewish. Mm-hmm. And she's saying that there is a rise in anti-Semitic crimes. And it seems like it's also happening statewide here as well. Where there seems to be a resurgence of the hatred of Jews, which is, and I find this to be, I mean, of course there's going to be people that just don't like Jews. I get that. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's not fine. But
anybody.
You get it.
I mean, sure. There's going to be groups of people.
Of course.
People
I get that. But
that's why you'll never be able to legislate any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like making laws, hate laws.
Right. Yeah. You can't stop anybody from hating anybody. And as long as you don't act on it, I'm really not concerned. You can say, I hate Jews. I hate. Okay. Well, just don't, if you don't do anything, then we're good.
Get a life, Jews.
Exactly. That's totally fine. I feel that way too. But in terms of like all of these like black celebrities and black athletes, I really don't understand, like, especially with everything that happened with George Floyd, say, right? It seems like that's, now we're talking about racial injustice, police brutality. How did we get, because, I mean, at least my brain can understand, like, white versus black. How are we getting to, like, black versus Jew? Like, I don't know, are we dipping into something that was already kind of, like, you know, bubbling up, and we're just kind of tapping back into that because now we're going after everybody, whites, Jews, Asians, whatever?
It's interesting because I don't think Jews are victims in America. They have a very small percentage, very small population, but they've 2%, been very successful in America.
Not just in America,
and
my friend.
And there is something to be
worldwide.
Said with being overrepresented in things like banking and media. For whatever reason, they're drawn to those things. I'm drawn to media. You're drawn to media. For whatever reason, it's just something that you wanted to do. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Get your hair cut. Get your nails did. Look good. Feel good. Chrissy will take care of you. Make your appointment today over at truvysalonandspa.com.
Like, if you think about Jews, I think I was surprised at how low the number was, but I want to say something like 12 million Jews worldwide.
Yeah.
And they account for, I want to say, more than 50% of the Nobel prize winner recipients.
If you're black and you're not a fan of Jews and you go,
get a life, Jews.
I'd like to know why. 813-693-2124. You can at me at @home_made_man and on a Hummel Radio.
I think it has a lot to do with Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
And the
he does have a
Nation of Islam.
The Nation of Islam, by the way, is you go, oh, they're Islamic. Not they're not.
Really?
They're like the comparatively, I would say they're like Mormons to Christianity. Like they're really weird. They believe that there's a spaceship up in the sky,
like
wheels and wheels.
And stuff.
Kinda. I mean, there's
but
some
not,
overlap.
They're not Muslim.
There. That Yaqub.
Why did I think he was Muslim?
Yaqub. I mean, I guess they identify that way, but it's a weird sect of Islam. It's not really. I don't think if you asked Osama bin Laden, for example, on his island where he's still alive, he would probably be like, "No, there's no spaceship in the sky." That's
insane. And I think that probably a lot of Arabs. I don't know if they hate blacks or not, but I mean, there's a lot of blacks in Africa. There's a lot of blacks of Muslims in Africa. And the same way that there are black Christians, there are black Muslims. Black people weren't originally either of those two religions, but they were conquered and they were colonized.
So, yes. And I lost my train of thought, but I remember what I was going to say, which is there seems to be a lot of. Like I said, I don't really feel like Jewish people are victims in America, but there seems to be a lot of goddamn Jews type of attitudes around. And it seems like media and culture is really only concerned about people on the right wing of the spectrum, people like the alt-right and Nazis, like they're very concerned about that sort of anti-Semitism that is unacceptable and has no place. But then you get into these black celebrities and people kind of like, oh, yeah.
Which is
I don't really
want
to touch that one.
Because there's a lot of Jews on the left.
Right. But there's a lot of Jews that hate Jews out there.
I don't want to say they hate Jews, but they're self-loathing Jews.
Yeah.
But I would say like Bernie Sanders was one of them. You know, and it seems like a lot of people on the left, they're... You know, they support the underdog. And so in a lot of people's minds, like if you look at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, they look and they go, the Palestinians are the underdogs. We need to support the underdogs because, you know, they're going up against this massive military entity, the Israeli. I mean, for the size of Israel's country, their military is insane. Like if they were the size of the U.S., like the U.S. would no longer be a world power. Like the Israeli military is insane at how big and strong it is for how little the country is. That makes
sense. Right, right. And a lot of that is due to America's funding, too. And we've given them a lot of money.
Sure, sure. And also there's a conscription. So everybody that lives there has to go into the military. So
I just don't understand. It seems like, you know, there's left-wing anti-Semitism and right-wing anti-Semitism. And it seems like they're really only concerned about at least media and culture because that tends to be dominated by people on the left. They're really only concerned about that kind. I mean, it's thrown in your face here. With Nick Cannon.
And Nick Cannon was reprimanded. Like, not as much as you would think he would be. If it was coming from David Duke, it would have been a different story.
Well, David Duke's so esoteric. And that's what I was going to say. Like, the people on the right who are like that are so esoteric and weird. Like, most people don't know even who they are. Mm. Like, you get into, like, Chris Cantwell. He's, like, the Daily Show, a Daily Stormer crowd. Mm-hmm. They're big names in their subculture, but nobody knows who
they are. I don't know who that is.
But everybody knows Ice Cube and Nick Cannon. And these people have a lot of power. They have a lot of Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. And they're able to just kind of get away with this stuff. As far as I know, there's been no repercussions for Ice Cube or... You become uncancelable at a certain point because you're so popular.
And also you're black, you know? We have to say that. I mean, if it was a white person saying that stuff, that's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Or if it was a white person saying something about Muslims,
right?
Not okay.
And we need to. And that goes back to what I was saying. Is for some reason my butt puckers up when I hear Nazis and alt-right people talk about, you know, white power or something like that. But it doesn't have the same effect. But it means the same thing. And we should have that same reaction when people talk about just have that sort of attitude. And, like, you can have that sort of attitude, but being able to express it so freely, I don't know. There's something that's not couth about that.
Right.
And we shouldn't just accept it.
Sure. And another thing about the Jews, and I can say this from experience because I am one, or at least used to be one, but The Jews are people that just mind their own business. You know, I hate to say it, but they're not going on, what do you call it? Not the, what is it? Those excursions that the Mormons go on. What is that called when they go and try to convert everybody?
Oh, they're,
You know what I'm talking about? What is that? What is that word called?
Oh, man, sabbatical or...
Right, where they go and
mission.
They go on those missions to like Haiti or like Ghana. And then they do a lot of good stuff. Don't get me wrong. They build schools and stuff like that. But they're also trying to get converts and show you the light and spread the gospel. Jews have no interest in that at all. You're never going to see a Jew soliciting like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or anything like that. It's not our style.
Yeah.
But, honestly, they want less probably. Less, you know, I think that a lot of people aren't encouraged to convert to Judaism because I think it's more, and I know this sounds kind of like not nice, but it's kind of like a purist thing, like, you know, mother must be Jewish so that you're, you know, and you can be a Jew and stuff like that. But they have no interest in converting people or anything like that. They keep to themselves and they do really well. Jews have historically done very well despite always having been the underdog in most of history, whether it's in Europe, Spain, and they banished the Jews. Obviously, in the Middle East, it was just like as soon as Israel was born, it was like ba-boom, the war of 1948. Now in the U.S., obviously, World War II, the Holocaust. But despite all of that, there is a sense of like you rise up, you overcome, you just follow your path. You don't worry about anybody else. And another thing that's really good about Jews is they help each other out.
Good community.
They
right.
really do. And I remember I had a Chaldean boyfriend in Michigan, and he said, this is the difference between Chaldeans and Jews. There was a pretty big Jewish population, a very big Chaldean population. He goes, with Jews, you'll have one Jew open a sandwich shop, another one will open a bakery so that they can do business with each other. One buys the bread, the other one supplies the money, and the other one has like a bag store. And so they're all helping each other out. He said, Chaldeans, one guy will open up a gas station, another Chaldean will open up the gas station like across the street and have it for a few cents less.
Mm.
And they compete with each other. But he said Jews, like the nature is let's work together. And that might be because they were always being attacked. They were
tribal,
always the outsiders
right.
that they help each other the F out all the time.
Yeah,
I've
that makes sense.
I've definitely noticed that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, it's just like we talk about America's success and now facing the consequences of that for being conquerors and imperialists, they just won. Those colonizers went to war with and that's just the way it was back in history. Everybody, there was Hannibal that conquered, you know, most of that area, Prussia and all that area. He was very successful. It was Genghis Khan that conquered a bunch of land And that's just the way people did things back then. Not saying it was good or bad. It was just, you know, you went to war and whoever won got the victory. The spoils go to the victor.
Right, right.
And now there's kind of a pushback against that. That we need to that these statues need to come down. These men, because they were mean men, not nice fellers.
No, not at all.
And I think it just goes back to they're mad because they won. And nobody likes, everybody hates the New England Patriots, right? And I know this is a sports reference, but
I understand.
They've just gone to the Super Bowl and won six Super Bowls in, you know, 12 years or whatever it was. So they're just winners, and everybody kind of hates them for that reason. And I think this is just a grand scale of that. The victors, you go, man, you guys actually suck. You're not good. You actually suck because they're mad that they're not on that team. I wish I was a Patriots fan. Well, now we got Tom Brady, so now I'm glad I'm a Bucks fan again. But as a perennial loser for decades, I'm finally excited again, and I'm ready to win. And
too bad it's going to get canceled because of Corona.
I know. It's definitely kidding. Possible. But it's weird, man, and any sort of, I don't know, like I wish we could live in harmony. I do. But it's just not going to happen. People are tribal. You can't legislate it. You can't. There's going to be ass wipes wherever you go.
And just real quick, and I know we have to get going, but let's not pretend that slavery wasn't going on in Africa before white people got there. You know, tribes were selling people and capturing people. They were prisoners of war. When when the colonists arrived, it wasn't that they were hunting down black people to be slaves. They were there ready for them, and they traded them for goods and guns, probably, and other sorts of resources, gold, perhaps. And so that was the exchange.
There's open slave markets in Libya right now.
Yes, correct.
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not great, and hopefully we can get that figured out, and everybody can live in peace and harmony and love each other, and nobody's better than anybody. Well, lots of people are better than other people.
Individually, but not by race and creed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I hope everybody can kind of take that mentality and we can move on from this nonsense.
Is your pageant?
I don't know. Like, I felt like that was bad. I'm trying to wrap it up in a nice way, but whenever I say
life's
something, I go,
"Life's a bitch," and then you die, folks.
I even say in that, I go, "Oh, that's not great." Can't tell people to forget about history. That's not good.
Yeah,
like remember history and how far we've come and how far we need to continue to go, and hopefully we can take that journey together. That's how we'll end it. I like it.
Okay.
You want to say something else?
Yeah, I was going to tell people, take a few days off the news. And I know that sounds crazy because I know you're a news junkie and I'm a news junkie, but I can't tell you how much better I feel after a day of not looking at the news.
Yeah.
And I feel almost guilty because I feel like I should be on top of it constantly and knowing what everything that's going on. But usually on the weekend, I kind of take a break and I always feel better. So, I mean, and there's really no point in just kind of drowning yourself in bad news all the time. Take a break, take a few days off, and then, you know, resume so you can get back on the grid.
That's good advice. Yeah. I feel like we need a peppier ending now. I got it.
Get a life, Jews.
All right, there we go. That's it. That's the podcast for the week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to Anna. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at @home_made_man. You can follow Anna at Anna Hummel Radio. Make sure you go check out Homemade Podcasts. That's my media consulting, podcast consulting little deal. If you're interested in learning how to podcast and don't know how, well, I can help you because I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now, so I can help. Check out NTT Fitness, Truvy Salon and Spa, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. You're going to like them. Support those who support us. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thanks a bunch. Please tell a friend about it. Share it with your friends and family. Retweet it. @home_made_man. Give me a shout. 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.